Something that I want to teach to you this morning, and it's a kind of a long storyline, and two lessons that we've heard before: the fig tree and the money changers in the temple. But I want to put them together this morning because they're recorded in three gospels, and they are interrelated, but we've never perhaps looked at it like that. So let's read Mark 11 and 12 first. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Christ Jesus was hungry as he comes out of Bethany. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came. It drew him. He was enticed, if happily. He was excited to see a fig tree. There's a lot of different commentaries on this, but most believe it was March, which was the time of the Passover, and that there was basically not the time of the figs. It wasn't really the time you pick figs in March. But he came because the tree said, the leaves said, I got figs, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Lord, I come before you this morning. I ask that you open up our understandings to this passage of Scripture as well as others that surround this. We ask you, Lord, to help us to understand how we live for God is from the inside out and not from the outside in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. So Christ was thrilled to see a fig tree in the distance that had green leaves, and he's hungry, and he said, okay, now I'm going to go curve my appetite with these figs. I want to preach from this title, teach from this title. Don't laugh. The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone. I know that Brother B.B. King wrote a song, sang a song called The Thrill Is Gone. Don't really know what that's all about. Only can imagine, but this is not the song. This is the sermon. There's no feeling like being thrilled. If Six Flags didn't have thrilling rides, it'd close down tomorrow. There's no feeling. Thrilled is an emotion that is so piercing and penetrating that you tend to forget everything else. It just overshadows. It's so thrilling. Of every other emotion seems to be curved when you are thrilled about something. People that use drugs, really most of the time illegally, they're looking for a thrill. And they'll steal, they'll do anything to get that thrill. But can I tell you, all people are looking for a thrill? There are people that go to church to get a thrill. I remember the day I used to be thrilled to go to church, and things happened, I wasn't so thrilled anymore. You know what I'm talking about? So y'all know what I'm talking about. Things can happen to kill the thrill. But we are seekers of thrill. How many of you ever rode a roller coaster? Yeah, just about everybody's probably rode one. And when you were younger, you rode it. I couldn't wait to get in line again. Do it again. Ah, you scream and all that kind of stuff. But I can tell you when you quit riding it, either your bones and joints couldn't take it or the thrill was gone. It don't thrill me like it used to. I don't hunt as hard as I used to. I don't do what I used to. I don't kill everything I see now. It don't thrill me like it used to. The thrill is gone. Howard Cosell, you remember him, the sportscaster, he said the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. There's no thrill like victory. Boxers can box each other and knock their teeth out and their brains out too, but when they say he's the winner, boy, he's pumped up, the thrill of that victory. Look what he paid to get it. And people in the drug world, look what they pay to get that thrill. Jesus likened the thrill to a woman that was in travail and said that all the suffering, all the pain that she goes through just kind of dissipates for the thrill of having that child. The birth of the child just takes away that thrill of holding that baby, just takes away all the pain, the suffering, the 9 months, and everything's just gone for the thrill. In the Bible days, before there was iPhones and all the devices we have today, it was a thrill to go to church. I kind of remember those days too.
It was a thrill to go to church. Couldn't wait to get to church. That's where it was happening, was at church. There's a story about the temple, and there's a story about the fig tree. But we need to put these two together so you can understand what Christ was trying to teach them. So let's go back, if you will, in your Bibles, where I was reading Mark 11, 12 through 14 about the fig tree. But let's go back and see the prelude to this story. Mark 11 and 8, and many spread their garments in the way. This is the Christ is coming in on this donkey that's never been ridden before, and he's coming in to Jerusalem for the Passover. And others cut down branches off of trees and strawed them in the way. Riding this colt as he comes in, I imagine that Christ was as thrilled as they were. And they went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Hosanna, blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the high. They are so thrilled to see Christ coming to the Passover. The King of glory has arrived. And Jesus gets off of the little donkey, and he goes and he enters into the temple at Jerusalem. And Jesus entered in Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out unto Bethany with his 12. It doesn't say it, but you'll catch it in a minute. He looked at all things. Money changers, oxen, doves being sold. What's going on in my house? And the thrill was gone. Hoping to go into the temple and maybe see the mighty works of God, hear the word of God being preached, he goes in and he finds what he thought to be God's people, a den of thieves. And the thrill was gone. He simply walks out after taking an inventory of all these disappointments. We don't have anything recorded that he says. He leaves this temple and he heads out towards Bethany. He takes the 12 with him to spend the night. But he's not through. He's coming back tomorrow. He parts with his disappointments and his hunger. And as he leaves, he spots this on the morrow. He spots this tree that's a fig tree. And that was a big deal in their day, is eating figs and the time of the figs. And he sees this fig tree on the morrow when they come from Bethany. And he was hungry. And seeing this fig tree afar off having leaves, he's like, oh, my goodness, look, there is a tree that's ready to produce. Even though it's March, it's showing me the signs. If you know how figs are, you get a leaf and then you get a fig, right? And he said, it's telling me that my hunger, oh, he was so thrilled. Being hungry, you know, you thrilled to get food. If happily he might find anything thereon. That's what the Bible says, not a hand, anything. Anything, one. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. This tree thrilled him and fooled him at the same time. Have you ever been thrilled and fooled at the same time? Happily to find one fig, maybe that would have been sufficient. He sees these vibrant green leaves and knowing that it's really not the time of the figs, but it was a positive indication that my hunger will dissipate because there's going to be something to eat on that tree when I get there. But he gets there and there is nothing on the tree and the thrill is gone. Just like when he entered into the temple. We're going to compare these things. Just as thrilling as the excitement that his expectations would be met with the agony that he was defeated and found nothing. The problem that we have when our expectations are not met, I'm a person that has expectations, and we all do, that the problem we have when our expectations are not met and they continually are not met, we start making excuses for our unfruitfulness. Well, maybe this is the way life's going to be for me. Well, maybe I wasn't meant to be happy. Maybe I wasn't meant to be married. And we start making excuses for our unfruitfulness. Christ was not taking any excuses. You showed me leaves. You drew me over here. You enticed me. You gave me the thrill and now the chill. These enticing leaves thrilled Christ to see that in his hunger, but rejected by the unfruitfulness of the tree. He began to speak to the situation. Oh, you need to stay with me this morning. Rather than just letting it go, well, I'm just going to let it go. That's the problem. You keep letting it go. And next year, same thing. Next year, same thing. Same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing. He says, I'm not letting it go. I'm not. You have thrilled me and chilled me one too many times. I'm not letting it go. And this was a precursor of what he was fixing to do with the rejection he felt in the temple when the thrill was gone. Seeing these leaves afar off look good on the outside, and so did these Pharisees, and so did the temple, the splendor and the ornate fixtures of the temple. Oh, look, it's beautiful on the outside, but they were just like the people in there was the Pharisees, who were beautiful on the outside and wicked on the inside. Whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. A cup that was looked clean on the outside but dirty on the inside. And Jesus answered and said to it, to the tree, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. He prophesied to this tree that fooled him afar off, and he cursed it forever. And the disciples heard it, but they did not really comprehend it until later. He leaves the fig tree that morning, and he heads back to the temple, empty and discouraged, but not empty-handed. Empty and discouraged, but not empty-handed. Only John, in the recording of this, three times it is written, only John records that somewhere between the first visit to the temple and the second visit to the temple, Christ made a scourge, it said, of small cords we know to be a whip. Somewhere during the night, somewhere that day, he said, I'm coming back and it's going to be different the next time. And they came to Jerusalem. They came back. This was just left one night, come back. And Jesus went into the temple just like he did before. But this time he's got a whip. This time he's angry. The thrill is gone. And he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrow the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Amen. The Bible lets us know that the splendor of the temple drew him in like the leaves did. But when he found nothing but chaos and a den of thieves, he began to take action against the temple just like he did the fig tree. You ever been drawn to something for the right reason and rejected for the wrong reasons? That's what happened. Disappointed. And rather than leaving it alone, he took action with the temple, just like he did with the fig tree. No doubt thinking, I refuse. See, when he cursed the fig tree, he said, this is the last time. And when he come into the temple, he was going to make sure this doesn't happen again. Watch what he did. And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. He put some rules down and some laws down. Oh, no, we're not going to let this happen again. From now on, all the vessels in the temple stay in their right place. You're not going to collect your money with the vessels that collects the money for the church. Knowing that money is the root of the problem. After this chilling experience of driving them out, he began to do what his soul is thrilled to do, and that's to teach. And he taught, saying unto them, it is written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have turned it or made it into a den of thieves. They had disappointed me. I came expecting to hear prayer, And I heard, who'll give me this? Who'll give me that? I'll try you this. And they were exchanging money. Because in those days, you were supposed to raise your sacrifice. That was the sacrifice. You set it aside and treated it different than your stuff, and you sacrificed your stuff at the expense of making God a better sacrifice. But instead, they just bought their sacrifices. We just bought our prayer. We get somebody come pray for us. I'm glad that Brother Brian is here and those that sing. We don't pay him a penny. We won't pay them a penny, but I'm telling you, their reward is great. And I'm not, if we have to, we have to. But I like for people to contribute to the church. And that's what they do. And some places they have to hire musicians. Why? Because they can't find anybody. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. But as we say, wait, there's more. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning he passed by. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. All the disciples, the 12, comes by. He cursed it yesterday. And they come by today, and it is crispy critter. It is dead. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree that thou cursed is withered away. Not just withered. If you read Matthew's writings, he says it presently began to wither. I have so much rain has come that some of my trees, they're withering. They're, the leaves are turning up like this. There are four phases in this world. One is to be born. Two is to live. Three is the dying phase. And four is dead. You're born, living, dying, and dead. And when you, before you ever die, there is a dying phase. There's a phase that you go through of dying, to be dead. And it all starts with withering. I said it all starts with withering. And as soon as he cursed the fig tree, it began to wither. And by tomorrow, it was withered away. It was dead from the roots of. Withering is the first sign of dying. And many times when you see, I know when I have fig trees, you see the leaves begin to wither. You don't treat the leaves. You don't start spraying something on the leaves when they're withering. You treat the roots. You treat the roots, not the leaves. And too many times, I'm afraid, you're treating the leaves and not the problem. Quit treating the leaves. Treat the roots. Treat the problem. Withering is a sign. The thrill is gone. When things begin to wither and things begin to languish and things begin to not be as exciting as they once were, then the thrill is leaving. It is a sign of withering away. And that's what's happening to churches. That's what's happening to many, many things. It happens in marriages. It happens at jobs. So many people, they find a job. Oh, man, I'm so excited to get this job. And you talk to them a year later. I just don't. It's withering. And the whole time they're looking for another job. And they get the next job. Oh, praise God, this is the job for me. And then they're withering. Marriages can go the same way. Excited to be married. Thank God, and then they wither away until they're dead. Jesus didn't curse the leaves. He cursed the roots. He didn't talk to the leaves. He talked to the roots. And until you talk to the roots, you're wasting your time talking to the leaves. When you can't talk to what you see on the outside, you have to talk to what's on the inside. Oh, my Lord. Jesus came hoping to find just one thing, and the pretending tree lost everything. They were astonished, and in 24 hours it had dried up. Christ spoke to the roots, and they saw the withering of the leaves. And when he came into the money changers and all these people that were in the temple, he also there spoke to the root of the problem. Money. 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 The Lord Paul wrote to Timothy, a pastor. He said this, for the love of money. He said, keep it far from you. For the love of money is the root of all evil and cause many to err from the truth. Started out good. Started out preaching the truth. But that nasty money, no wonder they call it filthy lucre. And that's why Jesus said it's very hard for rich to ever enter the kingdom of God. Didn't say it was impossible. Very hard, because that root system is so attached to that money. Roots prop up things. Money props up things. I'm telling you what, if you can buy drugs and sell them, you can start a business. It's buy low, sell high. That's what they do. They buy them low, sell them high. If you can do that, you can start a business. But it's the money that makes you do evil with evil things. You turn to evil ways to get money. Jesus answered Peter with four words. All of this. Now, did you stay with me? The temple and the fig tree were exactly the same thing. They on the outside, it looked great. On the inside, it was terrible. The fig tree on the outside looked great. I'm going to find some fig. I'm going to find what my soul is searching for. And then when you look at it, it was nothing but leaves. This is a facade. And here is what the essence of the whole thing is. Mark 11 and 22. And Jesus, answering Peter, who said, look, oh Lord, how quickly that thing has withered away. He answered him with these four words. Have faith in God. Where are your roots? Where is your faith? It all starts with roots. If you plant a seed in the ground, the first thing to come out is not green leaves, not a stem. Roots. It first sends down a root that you can't see before it ever sends up a green leaf that you can see. Don't treat the leaves. Treat the roots. Jesus said that every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Amen. Mark 11 and 23. He goes a little further with this. Have faith in God. He said, for verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. That's where roots are established. Out of the abundance of a heart, a mouth speaks. Behavior comes out of a person's heart. You can look at the leaves of their behavior and say, oh, they shouldn't. It's their heart. That's where the roots are. But shall believe those things which he saith, that's the outside. But if he believes it on the inside, then what he says on the outside will correspond to what he believes on the inside. So if you see leaves on the outside, you ought to find figs on the inside. If you see the temple with all its great splendor on the outside, you ought to find great splendor on the inside. He shall have whatsoever he saith. He said, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. You don't move mountains from top down by faith. You do that with a shovel. That's not faith. That's a shovel. Faith moves it from the bottom up, not top down. And if you're ever going to solve your problems, you will never solve them from top down. You solve them from bottom up. Find out what the root cause is and treat that. Therefore I say unto you that whatsoever you desire, what things soever you desire, the things that come out of the roots of your heart, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. No wonder Paul told a group of people that we need to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. As you know, I've planted a few trees. I've cut down a lot of the trees I've planted from time to time. I'm worse than Jesus. He gives them 3 years. Sometimes I don't give them that long. But I have bought a few trees, and I look, and I've made some mistakes. You learn from your mistakes. One of the mistakes I've made is you look real close and you read it and say, shallow roots. This tree will need to be propped up. I'm sick of propping trees up. Give me something that's got deep roots. I noticed when the hurricane came through, what didn't go down? Not this last hurricane when we had Rita. Cypress trees didn't go down. Magnolia trees didn't go down. Live oak trees didn't go down. Why? Deep roots. And I see Latter Rain came through the church. I see Charismatic came through the church. And many people followed that. And they went with the wind. And here you are still sitting here. Why? Deep roots. Deep roots. Come what may, I'm going to stick it out. Deep roots. When Jesus saw the deplorable state of that temple, the thrill was gone. He said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. He was zealous to do a work for God. Amen. When he said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, it means he was consumed by it. But when he saw that, the thrill was gone. My God. The greatest thrill I've ever had in my life was when I got filled with the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, you remember? If you don't remember, I don't know you really got anything, because you need to remember the day that thrill hit you. I mean, you didn't have a care in the world. Didn't matter. You was deep in debt, had a girlfriend or didn't. He was coming back tomorrow anyway, so what difference does it make? And you'd be happy to see him. The Bible says that what we have is joy unspeakable and full. Where is the thrill? They started writing songs called Bring Back the New Again. You remember that song? Bring Back, I Want to See You Again. What happened? The thrill is gone. I'm telling you, every day you get up should be a thrill. It should be exciting to get up and be the witness that you can be in a lost and a dying world. I'm thrilled to teach Bible studies. And that lady right there, she said, son, I don't know what to do. I don't have any Bible studies going. It just thrills my soul to teach these Bible studies. That's the way we ought to be, thrilled to live for God every day. And you know what happens when you're thrilled? Your countenance changes. You can see the excitement on people that are thrilled. Amen. Amen. So don't let the thrill leave you. Go back. Sometimes the Bible says sometimes you have to get renewed again, get refreshed again. The times are refreshing that come from the Lord. Renew that thrill again and never let it get old. God bless you. I got to take a quick break and we'll come back in for morning worship in a few minutes. Thank you.